You are now listening to the Firehouse Chronicles with Matt and Katie Spinks, a revelatory nuggets episode. Find a comfortable spot where you can revel and bask in the tangible living presence of Jesus Christ in you. You can find more of these Firehouse Chronicles episodes, info on our ministry events, and all of our other resources at thefirehouseprojects.com. But for now, open your beautiful new creation heart and let the truth of His good news wash over you in fresh wave after wave as we join together in a spirit of revelation from Abba, Jesus, and Holy Spirit.
Let me see where Jared's at here.
Someone's just come on that.
Yeah, he said it was, well, it's 8:30 in the morning for him.
Oh boy!
Hopefully he didn't. Sleep in or something.
Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Oh, look at that! Look at that! He's here.
Sorry,
early top of the morning, brother. Literally.
Sorry about the early start. I mean, gosh, it's 4:30 in the afternoon here. It's looking a bit dull outside, actually.
The Scotland gray skies, huh?
Yeah, we had beautiful May. May was wonderful, but June then was like really wet and in Scotland. Okay, in England.
That's great. Yeah, well, Jared, meet David. David, Jared.
Nice to meet you, David.
Hi.
Man, we connected with David in Scotland when we were on the tour with the Schiltzes, and just so many mutual friends, and we had such a great time. So just felt like it would be awesome to pick his brain for some of these Kinos chats. So
good deal. Yeah, I was just watching the video of you restoring that bench, talking about being in Christ. Christ. And I was like, this is beautiful. This is such a cool conversation to have while painting. It was just a really great video. I appreciated it.
It's quite nice to try and break the mold a bit, isn't it? Of the way these things are done.
Yeah, that was awesome. I loved it.
So where are you based, Jared?
I'm about an hour and a half east of Los Angeles. So California and then LA and then just a little inland from there.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Different time zone,
You've been to the States a few times, right, David?
Yeah, sure. We did a couple of trips to California where this is for 2009, 2010, we were up Bethel Way and Redding and the Redwoods and all that, doing the tour, Yosemite. But we've been in been on the east as well, and New York, been also in Canada, up in Toronto, and did a few trips to Toronto when it was all happening. So.
Oh yeah, cool. Come on.
Great.
That's awesome. So you've been at it for a while, running around, enjoying
Jesus. And my wife and I celebrated our Ruby wedding anniversary last week, which is 40 years married. So,
wow.
So cool, man.
Wow. Yeah, so cool. Been around the block a few times with all these different, seeing all the trends that come and go through the church, But the last sort of 15 years or so, been on a bit of a different direction since we got to know John Crowder and others of that ilk, and Baxter Kruger is a friend, and
wow. So you've been in this into understanding grace and stuff for 15 years.
I mean, probably maybe not quite, maybe 13 years, something like that. Since we started here at Wellsprings, we sort of bought this place. I don't know if you want me to talk at all about this, but as a sort of house of prayer and worship, and we had in our mind a little bit of the sort of IHOP model, but not, but more of an indigenous thing. But about that time, we were just encountering the fresh message of grace. And I think, it was a process over time, really, but of just really, it resonated in our hearts. And so, we were building something new in a sense in this community here. And we had a bit of a blank sheet to do it the way we wanted to in the building we had here. So we just started to gather around that vision and been running with it. And we've been blessed that so many of these folks have passed through Edinburgh. I mean, we, I suppose it's fortunate to be in a place like Edinburgh where people want to come to. But
yeah.
Oh, you're but right, brother.
We, yeah. One
of the greatest places on the planet.
We've had a whole stream of great folks pass through and share with us, which has been such a blessing, and we're privileged, really. It's just amazing.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's really exciting. It's so fun to talk to someone who's, you know, I think there's that initial excitement. You get that grace message and the religious stuff starts flying off your shoulders and you start to feel really free. But it's really fun to talk to people who have really like gone the distance and journeyed and really sunk deep into, I guess, like the question Matt and I have been asking, like, what is this? This message is really great. What's it look like lived out and lived out together? What's it mean to be a new creation together as a family, as a people? What does church look like? Reimagining what God has for church, what he has for community. Sorry if I'm just getting into it, Matt. I'm just excited.
Dude, let's just do it. Actually, it's already recording.
Okay.
Do you just want to share a little bit with us, David, like responding to that? And what's your journey been like, bro, of growing in grace and community? And what would you share with up and coming communities that are wanting to start and learn in this message and in the bliss?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's an aspect of what we're walking through in grace, which is personal. And, you know, it's like each one of us is unique and we have that encounter. God loves each one of us. We each have that identity in Christ. But I've always just known and always, always felt it's just true to me that actually God loves us to be together as well. You know, that he always sees us together. I mean, so much of this that we read in the in the New Testament is plural. You know, it's to you plural. And you know, the apostles are writing about, you know, looking out for one another, and it's they see it in terms of the gathered group rather than just lots of individuals. And Jesus was loved, didn't he? Loved a party. He was always eating with people, or you know, or offending people because they invited the wrong sort of folk.
Right.
But actually, I've always just felt that the community part of what we're about is so important. And so, as we sort of, I suppose, migrated over the last, as I was saying, about the last 10, 13, 15 years, over that sort of period of time, to embrace much more of a sort of finished works message, and the lights came on with these things. I felt that it was important not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, that actually there were things to do with church, if you like.
Yes.
For want of a better term. Right. That actually were still, like, they were precious. And yes, we probably had to let go of a number of things for a while and detox and walk free of them. But actually, there was some really great stuff to hold on to.
Yeah, we found, you know, a lot of people start to hear this message and then it's really hard to fit in to the old wineskin and stuff. So some people just end up, you know, kind of abandoning community altogether. And so it's so awesome to, you know, just to hear that, what you're saying. And there are ways to move forward, you know, in this.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think we were blessed in a sense to have a sort of like a bit of a blank sheet because we acquired a building ourselves. I mean, I've been a leader on a team in a big city center church. And then it was like a new chapter came for us and we acquired this old Victorian building, which we actually also live in. But,
I love it, yeah.
which we call Wellsprings. And we bought it in 2006. But in 2005, I can remember I was driving through to Glasgow one day, and I know the Lord, you know how you sound just aware the Lord's talking to you. And what seemed to drop into my heart was this phrase about communities of the Spirit. And I remember saying, Lord, you know, what does that mean? What communities of the Spirit, you know? But I think probably that's what he's been unpacking to us over the last decade, you know, that
yes,
there's something about that unity. You know, we know we're in union with Christ. We know we're the Godhead. You know, we've been brought into that wonderful union. but we're exploring it together as a group. You know, it's not just me on my own little journey, doing my own thing, and when I choose it. You know, actually, there's something even more precious about saying, "Hey, we're in this together, and this is fantastic. What we're exploring together is, yeah. You know, this is Christ revealing His glory in the community." And obviously, you know, that's not just those that we call Christians. It's He's doing it everywhere. Yeah, but He's, in a sense, He's calling us, in a sense, as a prophetic picture of that, as the gathered, or what Paul, you know, Paul calls the household of faith. He's calling us to be a demonstration of that, to help others get the message.
So good. Yeah, there's so much I'd love to pick your brain on during, you know, a session like this. I kind of wonder what have been some of, like, the biggest, like, breaths of fresh air as far as, like, maybe revelations or changes that have happened in the last, like, 15 years since getting into Grace, and maybe how has that changed the way you have pastored? How's the, you know, what did you do differently with the blank slate that you started with and stuff like that? Like,
yeah, I think one thing was just discovering that we don't have to make things happen, you know.
Come on.
We can enjoy it.
Yes, dude.
Saying Jesus loves a party, and, you know, to re-envision our gatherings as a party, you know, and actually enjoy it. So,
like, you enjoy pastoring now.
I do. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Leaders there.
I love the folks that we gather with. They're just brilliant. We have a prayer room downstairs in our building here, and which we originally saw as being more like, you know, the model of a prayer room, because that's what all that we knew in the past. But for us, in the last decade or so, it's become just a place of joy. You know, it's just like an overflow of who we are in Christ now, the finished work. So there's no sense of, like, having to be there, having to tick off the hours, having to fill some sort of rota. But rather, it's like when we gather, we just want to see what happens and then just enjoy them together. And yeah, at times something will come through for, you know, for prayer or whatever, and you just feel like the Holy Spirit is like in that. You know, there's something of real intercession happening here, which isn't a driven thing, but it's just you know, and then it becomes fun. It's joy, and
come on, dude.
I think also just maybe a sense of acceptance of people. I mean, you know, just seeing the gold in everyone, the diamond in everyone. You know, seeing Christ in everyone, and so yeah, hopefully less judgmental than maybe than some of the attitudes we might have had decades ago. More so aware that people are on a journey, and it's a privilege, really, in when you're helping to lead that, to help people discover who they are and discover what Jesus has done. I love the way we can release creativity. I mean, we're quite a creative community here, and we, you know, and in our gatherings, it's quite organic, it's free flowing. So we tend to meet in the round. You've been there, Matt. We're not a massive group, but we love to make space for dance or for painting or, you know, for different things like expressions of, so it doesn't have to be singing songs. It can just be rhythm or making a sound, or, you know, but it's just, there can be such a breadth and, you know, such a palette of colors to explore. It is brilliant to
come on.
And we're just beginning in it. I mean, I wouldn't claim we've gone very far, but we're just enjoying it.
Likewise, man. Yeah. Well, isn't that a good attitude to have? You know, we're always we're just scratching the surface for all eternity, really. Yeah. Where we could go together.
Yeah. I think freedom is one thing that's probably changed. I think you know, we just really value that sense of freedom in the gatherings. And I mean, that doesn't mean to say, I mean, just anything goes. I mean, obviously there's a value. There's a value in somebody maybe just leading, but we do, I always see leadership as a very like an inverted pyramid. It's supporting and releasing, and you know, it's just
that's super good.
It's helping people become who they are, and releasing them in that. So freedom is really important, and a non-hierarchical sort of way of gathering, you know, valuing, and hopefully that, you know, without putting people into bands or categories, you know, the whole thing, if there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, you know, slave nor free, you know, it's just, we're all one in Christ. It's just hopefully seeing that across the board, that we value everybody equally.
Can you tell me more about what that kind of looks like as you explore that together? When you say non-hierarchy and gathering in that way?
I think it's it's probably different in the States to in Britain. We can be a bit sort of reserved, and, you know, and so it's possibly right. more of an issue for us here, but where people will, what we would call stand on ceremony, you know, and but actually it's just trying to encourage participation. So we try to make it a safe space so that people feel they can participate.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's when you're all gathered together, there'll be other ways that people connect through the week, and it'll take many different shapes. I think in just perhaps, I hope, in valuing people so they feel what they share is important, and, you know, they don't have to sort of get it right. They can just, you know, it's okay to share, you know, with nobody sort of judging what they're saying or ticking boxes.
We really resonate with that as well. As we've gone on, when we started our community, we had what we called an eldership, and then we changed names. Sometimes we call it the leadership team or servant leaders. Then now it's like there actually came a point in time where we just decided to dissolve the leadership team, and anyone that's been coming for more than 9 months, we just we invite them to be like kind of a voting participant. Yeah. And so we lead through just kind of consensus among those that have been coming for a while. It just felt, and I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but it's definitely like what you're saying is, as you get this message that Christ is in all of us, it's like, wow, I actually need to hear from everybody. We have to find a way to empower everybody.
Yeah.
Not saying that there aren't still going to be, you know, pastors and teachers and apostles, but that they would kind of arise naturally and be seen by, you know, how they're functioning rather than through the titles. I love what we saw, what you guys were doing, and it's cool to hear that the Holy Spirit's led you in that same kind of vein.
We certainly don't go for titles, and I don't.
Yeah.
I don't call it my title pastor.
That's
the role I fulfill.
I just recognize that on you. So sometimes I say it's Pastor David, you know.
I don't mind. I don't mind what people call me.
right.
But
you've been called worse. I bet.
I've been called worse. Yeah. As long as it's repeatable, that's fine. There is a function of pastoring, isn't there? And that's the gifting, my sort of primary gifting probably, and encourager. But I think, I mean, we have a steering group here, but it's not a heavy hierarchical thing. It's more there's a consultative thing going on. I think there's, as we know, there's no just one way to do gatherings or church. Each situation, each area will have an indigenous expression, and it's part of the beauty of the body of Christ, really.
So good, man.
One of the things I love that you said was that you let people share it, and even if they don't tick the right boxes or get everything completely right. And I remember a version of Christianity that we only let the people share that would 100% speak everything perfectly.
Yeah.
And if anyone spoke anything even a little off, we were so afraid that everyone would get deceived. And so what kind of enables you to allow people to maybe bumble a little, or maybe they don't get 100% right, but you're not afraid that they're going to deceive everybody? What's there for you that's possible?
I suppose you trust people. I mean, to be honest, our group, there's quite a few fairly mature believers around. So they've walked with the Lord a number of years. So in a sense, quite a lot of people know whether something is going to be, obviously if something was way off, you would probably say something, you know.
Yeah.
If somebody tried to, but I mean, I know we have a group that meets in someone's house, and a visitor came, and she said afterwards, she said, "I'm amazed," she said, "you know, to hear you all speak around the room, there's so many different points of view and views, and yet you all get on and you all love one another." and she saw it, she saw it as a real sort of quality and strength. And I know there are different, you know, even within our group, and we've been walking with this stuff for quite a while, there are people at different places on understanding grace, and, you know, some are still sort of perhaps detoxing from evangelical perspectives. And we sometimes find we get new people arrive, and they come maybe from expecting we'll be a typical charismatic church. And, you know, I mean, we love the gifts of the Spirit, but we don't look much like a charismatic church. We're just who we are.
You know the feeling. And it's an interesting place to walk, isn't it? Yeah.
And people will come out sometimes with things that you think, but I think it's just because the DNA, hopefully, of the community is around, you know, union and no separation and the finished work of the cross and freedom and joy. And we try to, I mean, we will try and encourage, like those who, we've got various folks who will lead worship at different times or whatever, and we just try and encourage them to sing things that will, if you like, encourage that message, you know, be your message. So obviously our good friend Godfrey Bertel with some of his songs, or
absolutely
Brian Schultz, or different people who've got really good stuff, rather than some of the old songs or choruses we used to know and love, but actually now when we look at them we think, why did I ever sing that, you know?
Been there, bro. Yes.
Yeah.
So good, man. Well, hey, I think for the sake of time we probably have to wrap it up, just because we were trying to keep these to like under 20. I think we're already at that point.
Okay,
just for all y'all's attention spans out there that are watching this. But man, I just encourage anybody, if you're, you know, if you're traveling through the UK, to look up Wellsprings, to hit up Pastor David and Maggie and their whole awesome crew. It was just like family being there, you know, from the first moment we arrived. It was so awesome.
Really, we'll even share a dram of whiskey with you. Am I allowed to say that?
Hey. Well, I don't know about that, brother, but yeah, no, that's another one of the glories of Scotland, though, isn't it? It's the best whiskey in the world. So, look forward to connecting with you more, man, and hope you guys are able to come back to the States again, and
we'd love
maybe
to
visit us. You're always welcome in Fort Wayne and at any of our Kinos gatherings or anywhere else, man. So
maybe next year. Yeah.
Such an honor. Thank you for being here.
Okay, bless you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, bro. All right, we'll end the recording there, but
we can keep talking for a minute. Started. I didn't know was that 20 minutes. I feel like I was.
Yeah, it was actually over, but that's what's so funny.
Waking up.
I mean, we got three preachers on here that could talk for hours.
So was that the sort of stuff you were wanting to touch on?
Absolutely, man. I mean, I just wanted to pull more people that are doing it into these videos, you know, and we've been kind of brainstorming who could do that. And then you messaged me last week, so I thought it's perfect.
Great. Yeah, no, it's great fun. Thanks. Appreciate that. It's good.
Absolutely, dude. Yeah, I hope more people connect with you guys. So
you put this on you put this on a Kainos platform, is it?
Yeah, that's what we've been doing. Although, Jared, I might put some of these, I might even put the last two we did on my YouTube channel, because I just thought they were so good. And the same with this one. Like, I want more people to find it. So,
yeah.
But we definitely will put this on. We've been putting it on the Kainos Facebook group.
Sure.
Yeah.
Bless you guys. That's so good.
Yeah, Dave, this is exciting. So nice to meet you. I love that you're what you're doing. I would love to visit one day. And if you're ever in California, please let's connect for a little we don't have the best whiskey here, but we have some pretty decent beers.
We like you do.
Yeah, well, craft beer is good.
Yeah, we've
California craft beer. Craft
Redlands pints brilliant. For you.
Brilliant. No, we'd love to come back over and love to get to one of the Canos gatherings at some point.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, if you came, we'd love to have you share something, and maybe some other folks from your community could come. We'd love Gregor and.
Yeah, they'd love to. They're such great folks.
Yeah. So if we did the next one more on the east side of the United States, would it be a little bit more affordable for you guys to come across the pond, or?
Possibly a little. It's not. It wouldn't be critical. I think it probably. I suppose it would help if it was fairly near a reasonable hub in terms of where you can fly to
bigger airport.
Yeah, because probably connections and things was. Maybe get a wee bit expensive, but I think things usually it's cheaper to stay in the States, isn't it, than here? I think
accommodation. I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, we could try and bring a group across. Can people bring kids?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've been trying to do all of them kind of in like a retreat center atmosphere, so they're like the whole kids family can. Around. Yeah, it's like everybody's on one big property. It keeps the cost of housing down for everybody, and we do meals together, so that keeps that cost down.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we got it down to $185 per person this year. So, I mean, I don't know if you can beat that anywhere for three nights. So
very good. Yeah. No, we'd just love to do that. See if we can bring some folks. I mean, it wouldn't matter. We'd be quite happy to come to California again.
Beautiful spot.
If not
the Derek, you would love what they're doing, man. Their church there, it's so cool. They got this. How old is the building? It's like hundreds of years old, isn't it? Originally, or
which one? Our one.
Where you're living now?
Yeah, it's 1878. It was built. Yeah, so
1878.
Victorian building. Wow.
And they live there. You have like a school there, and you have church there, right?
Yeah, we've got various folks living in the building. We've got a garden flat. My daughter's just actually moved into that, which is at the side. It's like an apartment at the side of the building. And then we've got two more bedrooms on the ground floor with a couple of folks in, and our apartment. But yeah, we've got the big space, the upper room, as we call it, where the church meets. And then there's a school downstairs. So.
That's amazing.
I was insanely jealous, bro.
that is the kind
I need
of
one of those in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Lord, impart it.
Yes.
We receive your favor, brother.
Enjoy it.
what kind of school is it? Is it like a ministry school?
Or it's
like
a Christian school. Yeah, it started, it's been going since 1986, so that's quite a while now. Which was actually in the building of the church I used to be part of in the city centre. And then they were wanting to turn the schoolrooms into a counselling suite. And it's just at the time that we were acquiring Wellsprings and renovating this building. So I just said, we just felt it was the right thing to do was to make a classroom for them. I mean, both my kids went through the school. It was only for primary age. It only goes up to... Well, it goes up to about 13 years of age.
Wow.
I mean, that's changed over the years as well, like all these things, but it's still going, and it's not big, there's only about 35, 37 children, something like that. So it's not a big school.
Okay, so it's just like a Christian school.
Because people generally here get free education on the state, although... In Scotland, in Edinburgh, it's unusual. It's 20% of Edinburgh is private education, which is very unusual, really, in the country. Oh, wow. It's just the sort of Edinburgh has a real history of big, good schools, old schools that have been going for hundreds of years. Regis. It's called Regis, which means appointed by the king. And Jenny, who was the head teacher and sadly died just in March there, but she brought. Just like that real grace message into the school as well. And
she just passed away in March.
She did.
I didn't realize.
Yeah. She had cancer for a while, and she just felt, it's funny. She just really felt it was time to go home, you know, as it were. And
wow, sorry to hear that.
I've never known anyone so. She would joke about dying. I mean, she was just she was totally cool about it.
To the end, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
that's amazing.
The last time we had with her at her bedside, we were rolling with laughter. I mean, we were just remembering things and chatting about things. And yeah, she just has such a positive attitude. Now, that's not to say the last 10 days weren't difficult, because dying is not much fun for anyone. But you know, she was our sort of best friend. So it was difficult because it was just before the lockdown, man. You know, and so we didn't even have a funeral service, you know.
Oh gosh, dude, crazy, bro.
Crazy, but yeah.
Sounds like an amazing person, though.
Yeah, so yeah, cool. She was.
David, there's such a sweet, like a sweetness of the presence of God that comes off you. That's
exactly, dude.
It's like there's all different kinds of flavors, I feel like, of Christ like expressing himself. But I just really feel like the honey nectar.
Yeah, that's about true, that. Dude.
Such a sweet drink, man. I really appreciate you. Your whole community, I'm sure, just like a real sweet, really sweet drink of Jesus.
We just felt a real connection with Matt and the other guys when you came through a few months ago. It was just, I think it's something because you understand community as well. And, you know, you know, I love the Grace teaching and all that, but sometimes it doesn't look, as you say, people have been hurt perhaps in different situations, and occasionally it doesn't come with an understanding of community. And so I think it's really great to you know, just find that common ground and explore it, you know, because it's
absolutely that's so much of our heart with this too, is that there's so many people that go to conferences or meetings, but then they're like, now what do I do with the rest of my year, you know?
Yes.
The rest of my life. And there's got to be a way we can like move forward and even see regions transformed, you know, through through this message, not just conference hopping, you know.
It's right.
That's why I love what you guys are doing, man. You're really moving into a lot of different areas of society and just empowering that. So love it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Matt and I always talk about, like, there's, you can find some people that are all about community, and I've read like, we've explored seriously the works of like Frank Viola and like the organic church movement. I used to be real part of that kind of crew and met Frank and know those guys. But then there's like the glory, then there's like people that just love to get hammered on the good news and the grace message, and they just it's beautiful. But when you see that merger, that perfect union between grace and community and like fellowship, it's just so, it's just like the language of our heart, you know? And and I really believe like that's a lot of the organic guys get it, like that God does want to reform and fully reform his church into like an assembly of saints together. But if you do that without like grace, it's like it could be a nightmare, you know.
So,
to have those things, like you have to have the revelation of the finished work and knowing that he's moving his bride into that kind of wineskin, I feel like.
We're gonna see that
in our lifetime, like just a massive shift, and to be able to be like a part of it, it's so exciting.
I mean, an area that I find quite challenging is because I've been around the city but in leadership sort of things for so many years, is that I still get asked to so many sort of, you know, leaders events or sometimes, you know, I'm sitting in some of these things thinking I'm on such a different page to these folks, you know, what am I doing here, you know?
But tough,
other times I just feel like it's almost like the Lord is still in his heart that we keep the connections, you know. And I chair a group that come in, we've got a Scottish Parliament building here not far from us, just a couple of miles up the road, and I chair a group that go in to pray in there a couple of times a year, and there's so many different types of you know, people in that, and you know, all sorts, from the very evangelical to the sort of very strongly charismatic sort of prayer warriors types, and all sorts of things. But it's somehow that I've ended up chairing that, and I just like, well, you know, I'm able to bring something of a grace perspective to it, and not everyone probably understands or agrees, but at least you're contributing into the wider body, you know. And
yes.
I don't know if you find the same, but
yes,
yeah, that's so good, bro. Because a lot of times when our own paradigms get so changed that people just leave, you know, those connections altogether, or they start to resent people that resemble what they used to believe because of kind of the struggle that it brought to them. But
yeah,
I love that. I love it. And we've been starting to connect a little bit more again in our region. We kind of, I feel like we needed a detox for ourselves. Like, it was so good not to go to church for like 5 or even 10 years, just because there's so many little patterns that you fall back into sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
little striving mindsets a lot of times, or whatever, you just start to, you know, whatever. Sure. But but now that we kind of are really a lot more confident in who we are, you know, and just our DNA and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we don't want to be, first of all, we don't want to be like the prideful dudes that think we got it all, you know? Secondly, like, I mean, we need everybody, you know, you said, you really feel the Lord's heart like that. So,
And
that's why we need, you know, I think, I mean, I can just speak for both Jared and I, but we want more voices of folks older than us in our lives too, you know, because you guys have seen a lot more, and you bring some wisdom to the table and say, hey, all right, we're all getting whacked out in the glory here. Let's not like leave all of the, let's not leave everything behind, you know, like you said earlier, like there is still some babies in this bathwater, you know?
Yeah.
I think of too, just how many times, like, Paul was preaching a pretty unpopular message, even to the point he had to correct Peter and all that stuff. But how many times did he say, like, with everything within you, strive to maintain the unity of the brethren. If there's any faith, if there's any unity, if there's any of this, then like be of one mind, you know?
Yeah.
I get convicted sometimes by those verses because I just look at the church around me. I get sometimes so dissatisfied with what we're experiencing, but, but yeah, when you're able to, I've been finally able to like breach the doors of like a church building and like just look for Jesus, like just enjoy Jesus, like look for him. I'll sit through a whole message and like 99% of it just not resonating with, but that one moment where Jesus pokes his head through and you're like, that's God. Like, I love that. I love that. I'll walk away with that one nugget, you know, in my mind.
Yeah, sure.
To look for Christ and find him in anyone, especially, you know, believers. So,
because it does really help if the guys sort of coordinating the gathering have got something of that heart, you know. Otherwise, it is challenging if they're going in a completely different direction. Definitely.
Some church stuff is straight up witchcraft, let's be honest. But
to put a finer point on it, it's true.
No, but I mean, we're all, you know, we all gone, you know, through stepping stones of I like to think of it, you know. I mean, I thank God he brought me into the different ministries I was a part of for those times, you know. If he can wake me up in these ways, he can wake anybody up, I guess.
And it's amazing to hear some of the people who are coming to see these truths, isn't it? I mean, I was hearing, you know, Bob Mumford, who was a famous
speaker. Yeah,
apparently he loves the Mirror Bible I don't know much about it, but I gather he's shifted a fair bit in his perspective. And then there's a guy who used to come up here and preach a lot about healing. I can remember in the 1980s, Ian Andrews. I don't know if you've come across him,
but he's familiar. Yeah.
He went on one of the cruises with it was certainly Bill Vanderbush was there, but others maybe like maybe Francois was on that. But he's really, again, just come to embrace the message of the finished work. And it's just lovely to see folks who are in a very different model.
Yes.
you know, move over to something much freer, and yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, I was last year before we came to you guys, I was talking with Paul Golf down in Bristol, and he was talking about how many places and even different denominations are starting to get more open to this message of inclusion and the vicarious man and the finished work I can't remember all the places he was telling me about, but he had this whole like number of like different groups that he was aware of, and they were all kind of really wrestling with how do we embrace this into our current culture, you know, or how does this change our culture? And
sure,
so it's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's so good. Times, bro. Mm. Brilliant,
man. Well, dude, we'll probably let you go, man. I got a couple things I gotta get to today, but thanks so much for your time and keeping in touch. Really,
thank you.
Love you, bro.
Okay, well, bless you guys. Thanks for chatting. It's good, so good.
Yeah, say hi to everybody there that we know in Edinburgh.
Will do, will do. I'll pass it on, yeah. And to you guys, too. Good.
Thank you. See you soon.
Thanks so much, Jared.
Cheers a lot.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
See you, man. See you guys.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning in to the Firehouse Chronicles with Matt and Katie Spinks. Check out all of the events and other Grace and Glory resources we've been inspired to host at thefirehouseprojects.com. There's so much brewing right now. Also, Matt and Katie do ministry full-time with the support of partners like you. So if you're blessed by our ministry, would you consider becoming a monthly partner or making a one-time donation at thefirehouseprojects.com/donate? The more partnership we have, the more resources and nations we get to reach with this glorious good news. So thank you so much. Cheers, deep drinks, and until next time.